This is Chapter 6 of The Return of Princess Nightmare Moon by Aegis Shield, titled Aching. Celestia awoke with Nightmare Moon slowly curling into her. "Nighty?" she whispered softly, ears lifting. Nightmare Moon's draconic pupil-eyed gaze shifted to her sister, and she made a jerking motion with her head. The milky alicorn looked up in time to see a male nurse leave the room and shut the door quietly. His hoofsteps didn't travel far, for Celestia knew the bench outside her chambers squeaked.
"Sisters," Nightmare said softly. "We missed thee."
Her eyes glowed in the blackness, woeful and a little tired.
"We were brained a bit, and wished to lay with thee until the dawn?"
It came out like a question. "Of course." Celestia lifted one of her wings, sidling over on the massive bed to make more room. She could feel her sister's thin frame press into her side, cool and black as the night she commanded. Celestia was white and much warmer, often the subject of bedtime jealousy in their eons-ago fillyhoods. But it made for wonderful snuggles, even to that night.
"Are you well, little sister?"
She checked under her wing and laid her head down.
"We are emaciated, bald, and grumpy,"
Nightmare Moon said snootily, sticking her tongue out. Celestia giggled aloud, pressing her wing down over her sister's head. The daytime princess pulled the sheets a bit so they could hide from the darkness, briefly lighting her horn to pull the curtains around her bed closed. Ponies might get the wrong idea if they wandered in to find the royal sisters in bed together.
"I was preened a bit this night, so less feathers once more."
She folded her wings carefully so she wasn't poking Celestia with them. Laying on her side at last, Celestia pulled Nightmare Moon to her breast and sighed loudly. The black alicorn froze awkwardly, taking in her sister's scent. She smelled of soft soaps and quiet vanilla. Slowly, Nightmare closed her eyes and melted into her sister's embrace.
"Sally,"
she whispered into her sister's chest. There was a long, quiet affection between them. Though it had been little more than 6 weeks since Nightmare's return, they'd had so little time to just be sisters. In the primordial era, they'd always had each other's embrace, and only now were they truly returning to it, after 1,000 years of silence.
"Did you miss me, sister?" Nightmare's hugs said.
Yes, of course, every day," Celestia's nuzzling said.
Please forgive me. I've missed you so,"
Nightmare's quiet whimpers begged.
"Shh, Sissy is here, shh,"
Celestia's tighter embrace and gentle nibbling assured. It was a quiet, wordless, loving sort of thing that few ponies would recognize anymore. A passerby might think them lovers, but no, theirs was a connection only ancient beings like they could grasp. Boundless and unconditional love. Unbridled by embarrassment or public scrutiny, they warmed the bed with quiet sighs. It wasn't sexual, no, merely what happens when two goddesses embrace with love. Hidden away from mortal eyes, Nightmare could quietly croon and be fussed over by a being as old as she, and not feel any need to put up shields or defenses. Her sister loved her. She'd been welcomed home, cared for, loved again by her little ponies. Oh, Faust. Nightmare and Celestia slept in quiet embrace like two perfect, entwined swans. Their massive wingspans helped cover each other along with the sheets, and for the first time in an age, Nightmare Moon slept during the night. Relief had filled her body and then weighed it down for slumber. Celestia had never slept more deeply in the past 1,000 years. The next morning,
Shining Armor nodded politely to the two guards posted at Celestia's chamber door, cocking an eyebrow at the stallion asleep on the nearby bench. He was a handsome thing with a bandage on his flank. A medical pony? Why was he sleeping there? He made a silent gesture, nodding towards the stranger.
"Princess Nightmare Moon's private nurse," said the guard on the left.
Ah, so that was it. Straightening his breastplate a bit and removing his helm, as was polite, the captain of the guard cleared his throat for a bit. He'd not met Princess Nightmare yet, so this was a very big moment for him. He'd heard she was a strange black alicorn with demon fangs and a bald head, but he knew well enough to roll his eyes at such silly rumors. Approaching the double door, he knocked firmly and then entered as was customary for him some mornings. Being the captain of the guard, it was he who greeted Celestia in the morning sometimes to make a brief report and wish her a good sunrise. Several ponies shared this honor. He was just one of them.
"Good morning, Princess Celestia," said the stallion, bowing to the close-curtained bed. "It's Captain Shining Armor with your morning report."
He stood stock still, perhaps 3 lengths from the bed.
"Mmm,"
said a grumpy voice from inside the curtains, the sound of a mare not wanting to rise.
I saw Princess Nightmare Moon's hoof nurse outside. Is she here with you?"
"Mmm,"
said the same grouchy voice. There was some shifting in the sheets, and Shining Armor saw the vague shape of a massive wing lifting up to stretch before it flopped noisily back down again. He dropped his salute, standing there a little awkwardly.
"Princess Celestia?"
An invisible sort of magnetism drew the stallion towards the bedside, the same that makes a horror movie character go down the basement stairs or look in the dark closet. Gulping a little at the long, pregnant silence, he leaned forward with one hoof.
"Princess?"
he whispered, like he was expecting to be sprung upon. Turning his ears back and narrowing his eyes, he slowly pushed back the bed curtain.
"What?"
He was grabbed up by darkness and hauled into the bed by strength immeasurable.
"Oh, sister, this one is handsome."
Nightmare Moon was holding the massive, armored stallion up as though he weighed nothing in a brief show of strength, before dropping him to the mattress. Shining Armor froze in mortal terror. In bed, with the royal sisters. Oh, Faust, his heart! The poor stallion started to hyperventilate.
"May we have him?"
She rolled Shining Armor onto his back to paw at his chest a little greedily. Celestia lifted her head with a smirk, sleep still in her beautiful eyelashes. She batted them a couple of times.
"I think Captain Shining Armor is spoken for, sister. He's engaged."
"But not married?" Shining Armor looked over in time to see a bald, fanged alicorn lean over him like a piece of meat. He squirmed as he was eyed up.
"Nightmare, please."
Celestia chuckled good-naturedly.
"He's going to have a heart attack. Release him."
She made a mild gesture.
"Pooh."
Nightmare flopped down again, the icy grip of her magic releasing the white stallion at last.
"Thou still needs to show me to thy harem,"
she grumped as Shining Armor crawled for his life. Celestia watched him go with alicorn mischief glittering in his eyes. This was nothing if not just a little bit funny. The stallion tumbled off the bed, all 4 legs bicycling into the air as he comically righted himself.
"Princess Nightmare Moon, nice to meet you, at last."
He was backing away rapidly until there was some good distance between himself and the bed. If any pony had seen him just now, pressed between 2 goddesses, oh, the rumors. The scandal. He bowed deeply to hide his flushed face.
"I don't have a harem anymore, sister. I told you this."
Celestia rose, nodding to the captain's bow so he could rise.
"Several times."
We know, but we enjoy ribbing thou.
Nightmare rose on achy legs, then fell over with a yip.
Curse my weak body!
She grunted, squirming to turn and use the bed to rise. Her legs rattled back and forth like the thin, spindly things that they were.
Let me help!
Shining Armor's honor sent him forward on autopilot, and he used a strong hoof to help the black alicorn onto her hooves.
There. All better?
Despite being white-furred, he still went a little pale when she smiled with all her fangs at him.
They really are, he mumbled, staring at them.
Thank thee, chivalry, it seems, has some sliver of survival in this odd era.
Nightmare Moon nodded, stretching in a very achy way.
Celestia rose.
Your report, Captain,
she said gently, shaking her mane until the solar winds of the universe caught it and made it blow again. Shining Armor tore his eyes away from the giant canines in Nightmare's mouth and coughed loudly, saluting and parting his lips to obey. Nightmare decided then was a good time to slip out. Stepping out into the hallway and stretching once more, she saw her nurse laying curled up on a bench.
Rise, hoof servant. We journey elsewhere,
she said groggily, prodding him with a hoof. She was not all the way awake in mind and body yet, so it made her a little crabby. Nurse Band-Aid moaned, sore and restless in his sleep. He'd camped out there on the bench, waiting for his charge to reemerge.
Rise, hoof servant,
Nightmare said a little louder. She yawned with an unfurling, forked tongue.
We journey to my chambers, perhaps to bed still.
She squinted distastefully at the sunbeams coming into the corridor from the massive windows. She didn't like to be in sunlight. It made her very uncomfortable. The sleeping stallion groaned again, turning over. Growling a little and lifting her jowls, the princess loomed over him like a great black shadow.
We commandeth thee! Rise!
She bit him right on the ass, sinking her fangs into him.
Ah!
Nurse Band-Aid jerked like he were struck by lightning. He tumbled off the bench, bleeding two twin strands of blood down his flank.
My flank!
He cried, holding himself.
You bit me?
He gaped at her in horror, for when he looked up, she was licking her reddened fangs a bit.
Eat less sweets, Nurse Band-Aid. Thy blood is fraught with sugar,
Nightmare Moon informed him. He went a little pale at this, as though he would obey and make himself taste better for her. She watched him quickly fetch a bandage from his saddlebag of medical supplies, patching himself after quickly wiping the wound.
Please don't bite me anymore?
He wilted before her slit, pupiled gaze. Band-Aid whimpered a little, as though expecting to be eaten on the spot.
Ignore us less, Nightmare Moon said, turning her muzzle up at him. Come, we return to mine chambers.
She started shakily down the hall, trying to be easy on her slender little legs. He followed, sore in the rump thanks to her. There was a long silence. All who remained were the twin-armored stallion standing guard on either side of the door to the royal bedroom. One guard looked at the other.
You know, we guard doors for a living, and we see some of the weirdest shit.
Eyes forward, private, said the other stallion, though his mouth was turned up in a smirk of amusement. Nightmare and Nurse Band-Aid came to a large, angular archway. The door had been torn off and replaced, and the hall beyond furiously cleaned.
Ah, our home, at last,
the Dark Princess whispered. Band-Aid cocked his head as they crossed the threshold. There were no windows, only tiny lights, and the floor was black marble. It was beautiful in an intimidating sort of way, just like the princess he looked after.
What is this place? I've never seen it before.
The Obsidian Hall, Nightmare Moon said reverently, stopping to stroke a column. Our personal apartments, office, and chambers. There were 7 or 8 doors in the long hall. It is an offshoot of the palace built into the mountain so that pesky sunlight may never touch it. Mine balcony is only meant for raising the moon. Band-Aid could hear their hoofsteps echoing slightly. He looked up at the portraits on the walls. Nightmare and Celestia. Nightmare surrounded by the moon and stars. Nightmare dressed in armor. Nightmare surrounded by handsome stallions, draped on a big pillow. Plenty of self-celebration. He wrinkled his nose a little. It's different, he said carefully. The princess came to a stop in front of the far door. She lifted a hoof, resting it slowly on the cool mahogany door. Our room, she mumbled, a somber expression coming over her. Her nurse could see she was seeing the past, and watched her hoof slid down to press it open. The door whined. They peered inside with eeked ears. With perked ears. Darkness greeted them. As soon as the princess crossed the front... As soon as the princess crossed the threshold, a silver lining of runes ignited around the threshold. A hearth over 20 feet wide exploded into flame, scaring the nurse and making him run to her side like a frightened puppy. Wherever she walked, the princess seemed to activate automatic room functions. Curtains closed themselves, the large writing desk opened, a massive table unfolded out of the wall. The bed pulled back its sheets, the vanity unfolded its compartment arms, tilting its mirror back and forth. It was as if the whole place were possessed and greeting Her Majesty. We are sure you'll forgive the massive fire, Band-Aid, Nightmare said over her shoulder, going to a sofa and climbing up into it. It was high-seated, like a symposium platform. We prefer a hot chamber to a cool one, unlike our sister. It's very different, Nurse Band-Aid mumbled, slowly putting his bag down. Nightmare lounged on the sofa in front of the fire, peering about the room. Replica. Replacement. New. Replica. She was studying each piece of furniture, every trapping, even the rug on the floor. It seems all of our things were eaten by time herself. Pity. She sighed. She cocked her eyebrow at the closet and it sprang open violently. Empty. Are you comfortable? Band-Aid was glad she'd finally decided to settle and rest. Coming over, he lifted one of her wings to check it for new feathers. There were a few sprouting. He mumbled. Not as many as I'd like. He frowned a little. Going over to his medical pack, he took a little flat instrument out. Say ah? He asked. She obeyed, and he looked about in her mouth. Then he checked her hooves, her pulse, her blood pressure, and many other things. Your mane is growing back, just a little, he smiled. I can see some frizz coming in. He ran a playful hoof on her head. She scowled at him, and he smiled apologetically. Sorry, I know it's a touchy topic. Indeed, Nightmare said with a frown. Band-Aid checked the color of her belly, the sheen of her fur, and the flexibility of her royal muzzle. When this got more and more fangs pointed at him, he finally stopped. Well, you seem stable for the moment. Maybe you can settle with a book for a few hours? Or I can fetch you a snack or something? I have more vitamin juice, actually. I'd like you to drink that before day's end. He trailed off, going through his saddlebags. Where did it go? He frowned. Nightmare Moon said innocently, laying on her back and watching him while he searched. Perched between her two hooves was a juice box with medical markings all over it. She sucked hard on the straw, making empty juice box sounds. He looked up, a little startled. Trolled. The nurse face-hoofed a little and she smiled with her eyes. When did she... Well. At least she was drinking it. That's what mattered. There. She tossed the empty juice box into the hearth, where the fire snapped it up like it was alive. Hath thou contented thyself with all thy poking and prodding? She wanted to know, smirking. Or is it closely examining defenseless, sickly mares what excites thee? She grinned playfully at him, wiggling an eyebrow. That's not... Bandit looked completely taken aback at her. Nightmare Moon threw her head back in a great, bellowing laugh, falling back onto the couch. We jest with thee, hoof servant, she assured. His painful smile finally ended her laughter after a bit, and she rubbed a happy tear from her eye. But we shalt not abuse thee always. Come, we shalt instead share a great secret with thee. She pointed to her saddlebags, which had been moved to the room recently. Go and get a stack of my papers. You know the ones. He obeyed, and brought them to her after fishing them out of the fat bags. Ahem. She took them gently and lit her horn with some effort. Surely, she gritted her teeth with great effort. Surely we can manage a static charge. Her horn crackled, hummed, crackled again. Ah, there we are. The stack of papers before her were possessed by her magic at last, and hovered into the air. Moving like a ghostly fleet through the air, they arranged themselves into a grand, grid-like pattern and attached themselves to the wall. Look upon my genius, she said at last, smiling broadly. Band-Aid went to the wall. He'd seen these drawings before, all of the lines and angles and numbers. Now was the first time seeing the entire picture, but it still didn't make much sense to him. Is it artwork? He asked, turning to look back at her. The greatest of artworks, Nightmare agreed, gesturing. 'Tis my design for the new night sky, when my powers return enough to mold it again. Can you do that? Nurse Bandidus asked, astounded. I thought you were the Princess of the Moon. You can move the stars, too? I am the Princess of the Night, Stallion, Nightmare corrected him. I oversee all things night-oriented. She gestured mildly back and forth as she grocery-listed things. Moons, stars, tides, fertility, death, wine, many things. That's a lot to be in charge of. The Stallion gaped at her, impressed. You did all that back in your, era? He said, touching one of the pages on the wall a little gingerly. Nightmare's eyes softened a little. Yes. She looked up at the grand design. 'Tis merely a sketch, though. When we are back to full strength, the night shall be more glorious than thou can imagine. She whispered in a reverent voice. Luna herself does not yet obey me, but as my strength returns, so she shall. And the stars as well. She smiled, curling her hoof into a powerful gesture. Band-Aid looked up at the massive, complex design, and just trying to see it for what it was. He sighed when he saw he couldn't. He would have to wait for the real thing, and that was going to be a while. Nightmare's horn lit again, and she coughed aloud. Too much magic. The pages fell in a massive scattering all over the floor. Band-Aid rushed about to collect them before the living fireplace got any bright ideas about burning the paper. When he brought them back to her, she smiled softly and wiped her lips a bit from her cough. Thank thee, she mumbled, putting them away. She flicked her eyes to his rump.
forgive us for biting. We should not have.
Oh, it's all right. Band-Aid smiled a little bashfully, wiggling his flank a little.
It'll be okay in a day or two. You didn't tear anything, so the skin will close up right away.
He nodded with a smile. There was a long silence, and he sat in front of the couch while she quietly pawed through the stack of papers to check her angles and figures for the 100th time.
Nightmare stretched out a bit on the couch with a throaty moan.
Our legs hurt us, and we fell down when rising from our sister's bed this morn, she told him, not looking up from the papers.
When shall our legs be strong again?
Well, you've been up and about quite a bit, and you've been in physical therapy for a while. Maybe they just need more time, Band-Aid said.
The response wasn't very helpful.
But if they're aching you, maybe I can help with that. I bet it's the long tendons.
He knelt down at the far end of the couch, taking one of her massive hooves into his own. Nightmare gave a slight start. Such a forward thing, mare handling her back legs like that.
She watched him, over the edge of her paper stack, work his firm hooves along the backs of her lower legs. She watched him coax, massage, and bend the limb back and forth until it was soothed in a warm and pleasant feeling. It felt like floppy dough in his expert touch, and she allowed a small purring sound. Laying her head down, she decided she could read perfectly well sideways.
"'Tis nice. Thank thee."
"Hmm," he smiled, staring intently at his work.
"You've got such long, slender legs. There's a lot to work with and strengthen up."
He regretted the words as soon as they left his mouth. A black chuckle rose from the nightmare's throat.
"Why, Stallion, such appreciation for my litheness?" she said playfully. "Pray, touch me more."
His hooves jumped off of her like she were a live wire, and he scowled at her. Hiding her face behind her papers, she chuckled again and then quieted herself. It was only after a long time of her being good that he returned to his work on her. If he could get the circulation going better, maybe it would help her aches. Yeah.
"Twilight Sparkle," Prince Blueblood said softly, from a safe distance from her study table.
Twilight turned and looked at him over the rims of her thick reading glasses.
"Hmm?"
she said, cocking her head.
"Oh, it's you, Prince Blueblood," she said.
He noticed her voice was not filled with its usual distaste, but rather an awkward sort of, "Hi there," ring.
"What brings you here?"
"You smell nice," the phrase that he had blurted out to her, hung pretty plainly in the air between them, a memory from their previous meeting. But neither voiced it.
Well, I wanted to ask you about something.
He turned and produced a flyer from his saddlebag, levitating it over to her.
"The Grand Galloping Gala is coming up, you see, and..."
"No," said Twilight flatly, pushing it back.
"Let me finish, please,"
he said, ears turning down and eyes going soft.
"I'll let you alone after, I promise."
Twilight sighed a little, pulling her reading glasses off her face.
"The Grand Galloping Gala is coming up, and it's required that you come with an escort if you're of noble blood, yes?"
"I'm not of noble blood," Twilight said, tilting her head.
"Well, I am, you see, and I don't really know many mares."
He smiled in a bashful sort of way.
Now, I know you're not that fond of me, and you'll be spending that entire evening with Princess Celestia, but perhaps we could arrive together?"
he asked her.
I would leave you be if you liked.
Twilight calculated in the back of her head. Every single year she was often bombarded by requests by perfect strangers, eager stallions that just wanted to be near royalty or see the grand gallop and gala for themselves. She was never pleased and always sour at that time of year, because she always had to spend precious study time turning them all down and away. She was the princess's protege. She was always spending the gala next to her mentor. She didn't have time for a date. But here was Blueblood, offering to take the spot and not bother her for 100 dances or showing her off to other nobles or anything? He'd leave her alone?
I wouldn't mind being spoken for that evening. It would keep other suitors off my back.
She stroked her chin, seriously considering.
Then perhaps at night's end we might share just one dance.
The prince pushed his luck a little. Twilight stared at him sharply.
I'd leave you with the princess all evening, perhaps on your way out?
He begged. Twilight considered again. He really was taking a lot of mess off of her shoulders. Serving as each other's escort could be mutually beneficial. She imagined all the turning down letters she wouldn't have to write. All the free time with the princess. One dance couldn't hurt.
All right, she smiled a little. I think we can do that.
Blueblood's face lit up like Hearthswarming had come early.
Ah, excellent.
He tossed his golden mane with a grand smile.
I'll pick you up a half hour before the gala begins and escort you there in my chariot.
He made sure the flyer was on the table so she wouldn't forget and turned on his heels. Twilight looked at the flyer again. It was of a mare and stallion bowing to each other before a dance, with a few musical notes around them. She said again. Maybe it wouldn't be so painful after all. As soon as Blueblood was away, he quickly pressed himself between the stacks and spied at Twilight Sparkle. She tucked the flyer in a saddlebag and had gone straight back to studying, whatever she was studying.
Ah, he should have asked her what she was reading.
His hoof wandered on the shelf for a bit and plucked a book, wondering if perhaps he could study something to impress her. His eyes flicked down at the title. A baking book. Bah, he could already bake. He returned his gaze to Twilight, stroking his chin a little. Beautiful thing, for a time. He forgot about his family line and about his mission's means to an end. The purple mare had a sharp mind. He really did like that. Even his best negotiating had drawn sharp, wordless criticism from her. With a powerful razor mind like that, she really was just a little bit intimidating. And he liked that? He frowned, catching himself. Why? It was the stallion's job to be in charge, wasn't it? No. Herd instinct bade that mares were the ones in charge. His noble upbringing clashed hard with the books he'd been reading, which clashed hard with his natural herd instincts. He rubbed the bridge of his muzzle a little. This was getting a little complicated. It was well over an hour before he remembered that he'd originally started pursuing Twilight Sparkle for her magical power breeding purposes. Huh? One didn't just forget that sort of thing. Maybe he was ill. It was early October, after all.